بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل العقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا, سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا, سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا. اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى, إنك على كل شيء قدير. يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح, يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح, يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح. ما بعد. Today we'll cover a story on the benefits and barakah of making dua for your brother, your sister, someone else besides ourselves, and what are the ways that helps us. So this is a narration from Imam Bukhari's Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. عن أبي الزبير عن صفوان بن عبد الله بن صفوان وكان تحته الدرداء بنت أبي الدرداء قال قدمت عليهم الشام. صفوان بن عبد الله بن صفوان, who was married to the daughter of Abu Darda, said, I visited them in Syria and found Umm Darda in the house, but not Abu Darda, meaning the mother-in-law was there, father-in-law was not there. ولم أجد أبا الدرداء. قالت أتريد الحج العام. She asked me, are you intending to go on Hajj this year? Are you intending to go on Hajj this year? قلت نعم. I said yes. قالت فادعوا الله لنا بخير. She said, make dua to Allah and ask for good for us. So the mother-in-law is asking the son-in-law to make dua. You're going for Hajj? Make dua for us and that Allah grants us good. فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ يَقُولُ. For indeed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would say, إِنَّ دَعْوَةَ الْمَرْءِ الْمُسْلِمِ مُسْتَجَابَةٌ لِأَخِيهِ بِظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ. The supplication of a Muslim man for his absent brother is answered. The supplication of a Muslim man for his absent brother is answered. عند رأسه ملك موكل. At his head side, there is a guardian angel. Malak, an angel. موكل, who has been sent to be with him. كلما دعا لأخيه بخير. Whenever he asks Allah to give his brother good, قال آمين. The angel says آمين. And then the angel says ولك بمثل, and may you have the same. He makes dua for him, and then he says, may you have the same. قال فلقيت أبو الدرداء في السوق. Afterwards, I met Abu Darda, the husband, the father-in-law, in the marketplace. فقال مثل ذلك. He told me the exact same thing. يأثر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he narrating it from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He's not saying it from his own end. He's saying, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say this. In another narration, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu reported that a man said, قال رجل اللهم اغفر لي ولمحمد وحدنا. Oh Allah, bless me, forgive me, and forgive and bless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone, just us two. Don't forgive anyone else. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد حجبتها عن ناس كثير. That's one narration. Another narration is لقد حجرت واسعا. You have veiled this dua for many people by saying, oh Allah, just forgive me and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another narration he said, you have made something which is so expansive and so wide, which is Allah's mercy, you have constricted it unnecessarily. There's no reason. Something is huge. If you have a big sheet that everyone can sit on, why would you fold it up and say, okay, I'm going to sit on this and no one else? You have space for everyone. By you spreading it out, you're not harming yourself. You have your own spot on the sheet and on that blanket or whatever it may be. Everyone else can also take, you know, enjoy the benefits of having a sheet placed there or a blanket placed there. What benefit do you get by depriving other people? So when you're making dua only for yourself, you're depriving others, no added benefit to yourself. Another narration, أخبرنا الشرحبيل بن شريك المعافري أنه سمع أبا عبد الرحمن الحبلي أنه سمع الصنابحية أنه سمع أبا بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه إن دعوة الأخ في الله تستجاب. صنابحي says he heard Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه mentioning that the supplication of a brother in Allah is answered. Whatever dua you make for your brother, Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه says, this will be answered. Yet another narration, Abdullah bin Amr رضي الله عنه reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أسرع الدعاء إجابة دعاء غائب لغائب. The swiftest supplication to be answered is the supplication of someone for another person who is not present. The swiftest supplication to be answered is the supplication of someone for another person who is not present. Beloved friends, from these ahadith that we've shared now, we understand that there's the most powerful way to get our own du'as accepted and to help others is to make du'a for others. Someone may say, I raise my hands and after a few minutes I go blank. I don't know what else to ask. It happens to many people. But if you start thinking about the people right around you, let's just say your neighbor, Muslim or non-Muslim, how many of us honestly ask yourself, it's been 8 days in Ramadan, how many of us made dua for hidayah for our neighbor? Right? How many of us made dua for our children's teachers at school, public school? Or our, doctor? Or anyone else that you have interacted for years? What percentage of us have made dua for hidayah for them? Now if you start just with that, how many other non-Muslims you have interacted in the past 40, 50 years of your life? Many of them who had a huge share in where you are today. Many of them have done a lot of good for us. Shouldn't we maybe be making dua for them? So that you started off with one thing, you're like, man, it's true, there's so much. Then you know about your roommate or your classmate or your colleague at work, your nephews, your nieces, your cousins. My friends, just our own relatives are so many. If you finish taking the name, Maghrib will already start. If you just start thinking, my brother, this son, then he's married, if he's married, then those sons, wives and their kids. By the time you do your quick family tree, you need half an hour. Most of us, we have, mashallah, such huge families. And then you're including the ones that they married into and all of that. Now if you just make general dua for guidance for all of them, you make general dua for forgiveness, you make general dua for afia, that is just getting started. But then you just remember, one of them, she's having marital problems. One of them, she can't get married. The other one, they're married but they don't have any kids. They've been trying for so long. And then the other one, he graduated 2 years ago from college, still can't find a job. Another one, he's hurt himself, he's waiting for a surgery, he's injured himself in somewhere. And then you start remembering your sister said something about her kids, and then your brother said something about his kids. How can we say we ran out of things to ask from Allah? There's no limit. If we start from now, you go till Fajr also, you won't have it. Because we're not thinking. That's the issue. Our mind, we have made ourselves, our mind has become, dimag bada chota kar diya humne. We made our mindset so small and constricted that what are the things I can speak to Allah Azza wa Jalla about? What are the things I can speak to Allah about? Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, give me Jannah. Ya Allah, protect me from Jahannam. Ya Allah, give me death and Iman. Bas. These are very big things, no doubt. I'm not saying that. These are huge things. But we have to remember Musa alayhi salam. How did he enjoy speaking with Allah? By adding things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What do you have in your hand, O Musa? And those scholars of tafsir say, he could have simply said, I have فِي يَدِي عَصَى. I have in my hand a staff. But he didn't say that. He said, هِيَ عَصَايَ. It's my stick. أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا. I lean on it. Allah doesn't know that? First of all, doesn't Allah know what you have in your hand? So Allah is talking to you. So Musa said, okay, I'm not going to just say what's in my hand. I'm going to say what are all the things I do with it. أتوكّو عليها, I lean on it. وَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنِمِي. When I am walking with my flock of sheep, I use my stick to bring down the leaves from the trees. وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَعَارِبُ أُخْرَى. And I have lots of other also benefits from my staff. Again, there's no point, there's no dua in here. This is pure chit-chat. Right? People looking for opportunities. We see how when things go wrong or when haram relationships, this is how they start. There's nothing to talk about, then you create something to talk about. People always talk about in the workplace, college, how am I supposed to navigate around mixed gender, you know, workspaces, mixed gender classrooms. And I tell people that whatever you have, it's not like you don't have to interact ever. You will be have to interact. But the interactions have to be limited. Only speak what is needed, and that's it. Be, of course, you're going to speak in a public place. You want to have private long meetings and behind closed doors, none of that stuff. But even when you do speak, you don't have to constantly say, well, mashallah, what beautiful weather we got today. There's no need for that. That small talk, we can do it with our kids, we can do it with our spouse, we can do it with everyone else. But with someone with the opposite gender in the office, or a workspace, or in school, there's no reason for us to make that comment. Man, I'm fasting and the days are so long, I feel so hungry. Nope, don't say that. There's no reason for that. What? Tell us one benefit you got out of that. No benefit. So just like shaitan comes and tells us, just start up a conversation and just talk. And you're not doing anything wrong, you're talking about Ramadan. You're talking about Allah's Qudra, the weather. But that's nothing, that's all pure deception of shaitan to get you into something which you shouldn't be. Subhanallah, that's how it is. So now the flip side of it, shaitan is making us, when we're supposed to move, khulna chahiye jab hone khul rahe. When we're supposed to talk to Allah Azza wa Jal, then we say, oh, we don't know what to talk about. What do you talk about? You talk about how Musa alayhi salam. Just speak about your issues. So now what we're learning from here today is the fact that we can actually start spending time making dua for each other. My beloved brothers, not only is that person's dua, the dua you're making for someone else going to get accepted, wallahi, you have an angel, not Maulana Sahab, not Qari Sahab, Imam Sahab, Dada, Dadi, Nana, Nani. You have a Nurani angel sitting right next to you and saying, may Allah give you whatever you just asked for. So if we were to just spend half an hour making dua for other people's affairs, you can be guaranteed that you have an angel sitting next to you making dua of all these things right for you. This is how we can expand our dua list. Sometimes when we go for Umrah or for Hajj, people, they ask for dua lists. They say, if anyone want to give. I'll tell you my own experience. You know, I when I went for Umrah, people, Google Doc form, people send their duas. I'm not doing a favor to anyone. Wallahi, I do a favor to myself. When I sit there and look through these lists and I'm making dua, I don't even know sometimes who the person is, anonymous. The duas that sometimes people share with me, I tell you that I am baffled. That the depth and the beauty of these duas, they're just so amazing. That I'm literally crying over other people's duas more than my own duas. Because I'm like, man, how did this guy think about such a dua? Such deep things you're asking from Allah. If I were to pull up my Google Doc from somewhere from previous years, I could read to you, you'd be shocked. You're like, who is this guy? They're not ulama, just general community people, students or non-students, whoever they may be. But mashallah, we have hidden gems. We're not doing a favor to them by taking their dua list. What's going on?
we as we make read their du'as, subhanAllah, our hearts soften up. We begin to cry reading other people's du'as. And what all these amazing things that they thought about for themselves that I couldn't think I've thought of, I have an angel making all those amazing things for me. So sometimes a person may think that, oh, I don't have time, brother. I don't have time to make du'a for others. Now this is foolishness. If you make du'a for other people, your needs will definitely get fulfilled. And whatever issue you say, I am struggling, my mother is sick, or my father is fulan, or this. Okay, why don't you start making du'a for other people's mothers? Why don't you start making du'a for other people's fathers? Start making du'a for other people's children. Who is worried about, which dad is not worried about his kids? Right? Which father is not worried about his children's tarbiyah, their physical, educational, and their educational needs, physical needs, spiritual needs? If you say, my son is not listening to me, my daughter is not listening to me, I'm heartbroken. How about we start raising your hand and say, Ya Allah, all those moms and dads whose children are disobedient to them, Ya Allah, make them obedient. Ya Allah, all those parents who are crying because of their children, the way they're mistreating them, Ya Allah, put muhabbah of the parents into the children's hearts. Ya Allah, all those children who run away from their homes, the parents' homes, Ya Allah, bring them back. Now you spend 10 minutes making dua like this. All those duas, mashallah, tabarak ta'ala, will be coming back towards your own self and your kids. So this is what we want to focus on today, is the fact that this Ramadan days and nights are here. Like Hajj and Umrah are time for du'a's acceptance, similarly, Ramadan is. My beloved brothers and sisters, I encourage you and I to start making du'a every day at suhoor and iftar for each other. And someone was making the WhatsApp rounds, you know, some of those things that become viral. As long as it's authentic, it's good. But this is a statement of Sheikh Zakaria Rahimullah Al-Kandalwi, right? The author of Fadail Al-Amal and Awjuz Al-Masalik and tens of other things. And the Sheikh of many, you know, hundreds of ulama. He says, I have experienced many, many times that exactly 1 minute, 30 seconds to a minute right before iftar, whatever dua I have made, that's been the quickest in acceptance. Right before we break our fast. Is that 1 minute leading up to iftar is so crucial, as the Sheikh Zakaria says, rahimahullah, that my experience has shown that whatever du'as are made at that time, they're accepted. So now, let us begin to do that. Let us use this moment to request people. Your du'a list, we usually send it for Umrah and Hajj. How about now? How about we write a list of 10, 15 things that you really need, or 10 things, or 5 things, and you share it with 10 people? And say, you know what? It would mean a whole lot if you can make this dua for me whenever you remember me. And number two, you ask them, whatever duas, whatever things you need, why don't you let me know? You can message me too. We start making dua for each other. SubhanAllah. We become buddies, dua partners. The amount, how much dua are husbands making for their wives? And wives making for the husbands? Sons for and daughters for the parents, parents for the kids. Do not just make dua of things that are just basic things. Ya Allah, keep them healthy and get them good grades and this, that. This is very superficial things. We should make very large intentions, big intentions, great intentions. I remember one day I told you that a person called me and he said, imagine you have no budget. As much budget as needed. And you could educate your son in the best place and give him every single thing he needs. Where would you send him? And what would you do with him? And when would you start? What age would you start, you know, his Hafiz al-Quran and this and that, all that type of stuff. So I was giving him some advice. That's an interesting question. No budget. You want to do all this stuff. He said, yeah, I want my son to become not a mujaddid of the era. I want to become a reviver. I said, wow, that's a huge mashallah ask. So I said, may I ask, how old is your son? He said, oh, he's still in the hospital. I said, everything okay? He said, no, he was just born. SubhanAllah. Look at the planning. I said, this is what you call planning. Still in the hospital, and he's calling and saying, I want to start early. What are the things I need to do? That's how that comes. The work gets done like this when we start making these plans. Plans should not be made, not just plans. Plans along with du'as should not be made at last minute when it's already too late. We think about these things when the tree has been bent the other side and the tree has grown in a wrong direction. Then we start thinking, man, I think we need to make dua to straighten the tree. No, brother, dua is not going to help this one. You should have thought about this 10 years ago. Now the tree is already crooked. The only way to fix a crooked tree is to cut it. So sometimes that's what happens. Mistakes are made, and then subhanAllah, we wake up 10 years, 15, 20 years later. We don't want to do like that. Now some parent might be listening and says, what am I supposed to do? I woke up in my 50s and 60s when my kids were already... And I've had to deal so sad cases of a parent whose all three kids left Islam. And they're all, you know, middle 20s and 30s. And the parent says, I can't forgive myself because when the kids were growing up, I was absolutely irreligious. Absolutely irreligious. Did everything under the sun. And now, when they hit midlife, they repented, made tawbah. But it's too late. It's really sad to see cases like this where the parents got hidayah, but they got hidayah very late. And by that time, the children have unfortunately already... Yani, they went through, the, you know, the cat is out of the bag, whatever you call it. It's too late. Yani, they left Islam already. So now to get them back towards Islam is not an easy thing. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide all these people back to the deen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the du'as of the parents on behalf of the children. But we can't give up. We cannot give up. Even if it means 15 years, 10 years, someone's son or daughter has left Islam, we don't give up. We have to keep on making dua. You know, I was in Jummah this past Friday. I was in Texas. And I was, something that I am so accustomed to speaking about is people leaving Islam. So I made an ishara. I was talking about something and I just said, you know, sometimes people leave Islam and stuff. I said, you all know that, right? It's a packed masjid. Well, you know, I want an answer. You all know this? And the whole crowd looked at me and said, no, we never heard of people leaving Islam. I'm like, subhanAllah. It's like, I don't know, like, how do we amplify this aspect of a wake-up call for people to realize to what degree people are leaving the deen? You regulars here, alhamdulillah, you always hear from me. But you need to do you and I need to also continue speaking about this outside because people are just completely oblivious. So, a story of a person I met somewhere. He said, my brother, you know, he was connected to the deen. He used to practice, he went to a little bit to a madrasa for a little bit. He went in jamaat a little bit too. Oh wow, mashallah, everything. And then, I'm going to be honest, Franco here. He started from high school, started having same gender attraction. So his mom, who's a hardcore lady, she's like, oh my God, you've been possessed by some devil. You've become the devil yourself. And started saying all kinds of stuff to him. He got upset. And you know, he left the home. And so now, even in the month of Ramadan, he's living with a guy, and zina, drink, alcohol, no observance of any aspect of the deen. And the brother was telling me, if you ask him why, he blames it on his mom. He says, the harshness with what she spoke with to me, and she uses deen, and when she condemned me, it's just something too hurtful, too upsetting. So I'm done with it. So someone who saw the deen, sat in a madrasa, went out in khuruj, did everything. Now look at miskeen where he is right now. There are hundreds of cases like this. Some of them have been pushed out because of their parents. Because of them not properly dealing with them. Not properly giving them tarbiyah. Or some of them for other circumstances. But nonetheless, there are too many of these type of cases. Too many. The amount of people that are coming in, I was speaking at IFS today after Dhuhr, and I was saying, if you think about what we've been hearing in Chicago, how the Muslim population in Chicago, since I've been hearing, what have you been hearing? Now, with the Muslim population, have you heard, how many Muslims are in Chicago? What number has been told? Half a million, right? That's the number. I've been hearing it since 90, or since I understood numbers, right? That's half a million. That was 30 plus years ago. So I cannot imagine we're still at 500,000. All right. Someone didn't just told me in DuPage is 250. 250. I don't know what stat he was sharing. But it's 250,000. Now you look at, see, IOGC releases all the Eid slots. Eid, where is Eid namaz being prayed? They'll share it at the end of the month. Take that list. There's probably another 30, 40 masjids or musallas that are not included in there. I'm being very generous. 30, 40. You do the map. Google map each one of those locations and figure out how many people can fit in each salah of Eid. Most masjids are going to have 200, 300, 400. The ones that can accommodate over 1,000, you can count them on your hand. The masjid that can accommodate 2,000, maybe just 3. All right? Or 2 or 3 or whatever. Not that many. If you just now do the math on Eid al-Fitr, Bari Eid, Choti Eid, whatever Eid, you gather all of them together and say, if all of these are filled to capacity, Eid number 1, Eid number 2, chalo, even Eid number 3, what is the math? Are we at 500,000? Are we at 100,000? Absolutely not. Then no way you're going to get 100,000. Before you just have the McCormick, place where people together for Eid. But now we have many places like, you know, that crowd is spread. So even on Eid day, we are seeing that a very small population of the so-called Muslim population of America is actually performing Eid. Have you thought about that before? So now if a person doesn't show up for Eid, what's left? Like honestly, like what's left? Whole Ramadan went by, never showed up. On Eid day for 30 minutes, eat and go have some donuts on the way out. If a person couldn't show up for that, then unfortunately, what degree? I'm not saying they're not Muslim. No, I didn't say that. I'm just trying to say, when it comes to the practical application of being a Muslim identity, where is that? So that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with this, you know, for some reason, people just don't get it. The way they don't realize to what degree people have shifted away from deen. And the number of Muslim masjid going people is slowly diminishing. It was like, oh, but we have so many more masjids. Yes, the population is booming through immigration and through marriage and having kids. You cut down the immigration, and very soon, as you're already seeing, smaller families. That's it. When I was in Australia, like when I spoke to the person who had the census, same thing. He said, we get so misinformed, and we are so misinformed, we walk away with wrong conclusions about Muslim populations. And we see, oh, mashallah, we're number one, you know, community, etc. But he said, it's because these two reasons, in Australia as well, immigration and large families. And already immigration, we all know what's happening in this country, subhanAllah, being cut, especially from Muslim countries. And then number two, generally people don't want to get married. And those who are married, they don't want to have kids. Sometimes we talk, brother, mashallah, married for five years. Yeah, I just want to travel a little bit, you know. Want to see the world a little bit, enjoy life a little bit. This is not the talk of the previous 50 years ago and beyond. This is this generation talking. That I want to delay and get married. And after getting married, also I want to delay in having children. And then when we have, we'll have one or two. So that ummah that used to be was growing because of immigration and marriage, both of those avenues are now slowing down. So now, why did I go into this tangent here? Is the importance of making dua for the ummah. Dua for the hidayah of the ummah. Dua for people to not leave Islam. Dua for people to remain steadfast. And additionally, I want to mention that we haven't spoken about Gaza for a while, but things in Palestine are going very difficult right now. They're really trying as much as possible to not allow people to enter even Masjid Al-Aqsa for Salah. So we know, alhamdulillah, from our community, people are going, people have gone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them all safely, bring them back safely, and allow them to get their niyyah fulfilled, the intention of being able to pray in Masjid Al-Aqsa and be able to make dua there. And also for Gaza specifically, the news of the past few hours is that they have cut electricity completely. Whatever little electricity there was there, they cut it out ahead of some negotiation talks. This is how they want to negotiate. So our brothers are already going through so much difficulty, and subhanAllah, they're fasting. They fasted before Ramadan, and now they're fasting in Ramadan as well, because they have nothing to eat. So even in Ramadan, subhanAllah, they still have their suhoor and iftar in whatever way they can. So please, let's not forget them. Let's not forget our brothers and sisters in Sudan. Muslims against Muslims being fueled with the war, genocide, you know, being fueled by external forces. Many of them who come from Muslim countries are using the worst possible tactics to be able to intimidate the other factions. Civil war is happening. And within Syria as well, lots of fitna happening now. There was a relative calm. in the past few days, past day actually, or two. It's been a lot of fitna there as well. So these are places, subhanAllah, that we have to make lots of dua for. And when we start making dua for safety and security of all these places, we're also making dua for safety and security for our own country and for our own self as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to motivate all of us to spend adequate amount of time in this blessed month of Ramadan making dua for one another. And I ask Allah to inspire us to reach out to our friends and say, these are my dua requests, can you please do it for me? And that those friends also share with us their dua requests and we make dua. You notice that if someone tells you, brother, I need you to make this dua for me, you'll forget to make dua for yourself, but you'll make dua for him. Isn't that how, what you think? One brother just met me after Dhuhr, subhanAllah, he comes here for Salah as well, and it hurt me. Three beautiful little small kids, like my kids, similar, you know? And he told me that I've just found a tumor in one of the organs. I think he said in the liver. And if I remember correctly. And he said, they think it's cancerous. So he said, please just make dua. So I said, subhanAllah, look, you look person of my age going through the same thing. You know, imagine if I was to go through that. So now, my heart feels it. I want to make dua for him, right? And I want, so similarly, when we share with each other our needs, this is a very simple, smart, quick hack. Your needs that you have, 1, 2, 3, whatever it may be, share it with one another and say, please just keep me in your prayers on these blessed hours and occasions that we have. Inshallah, we have about 9 minutes left. The brothers can join the dua from downstairs. Inshallah.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام وتبارك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم انا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنه عرشه ومداد كلماته اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك ولك الحمد حمدا حتى ترضى ولك الحمد حمدا اذا رضيت يا اله العالمين اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاه تنجينا بها من جميع الاهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى درجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي فيها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم جنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. اللهم جنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم اشفنا واشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اشفنا واشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اشفنا واشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفي مرضانا. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحي على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان. Oh Allah, most powerful, most forgiving, most loving. Oh Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to accept our, Ya Allah, our ninth, Ya Allah, ninth day of Ramadan. Oh Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to accept this fast. Oh Allah, one third of Ramadan has already gone by. Oh Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, please, we beg you, Allah, do not allow these days to run by past us without us fully benefiting from every moment and every beautiful hidden treasure that lies within these days and nights. Ya Allah, grant us all the true value of Ramadan. Oh Allah, grant us the true value of Ramadan. Oh Allah, grant us the true value of Ramadan. Allah grant us the value of the nights of Ramadan, the days of the Ramadan, the weekends of Ramadan, the weekdays of Ramadan, the time of suhoor in Ramadan, the time of iftar in Ramadan. Oh Allah, allow us to value every single one of these moments. Oh Allah, allow us to do such actions that will become of greatest benefit to us in this world, in the grave and the hereafter. Ya Allah, allow us to spend every single day of our Ramadan as though it may be our last day. Oh Allah, allow us to spend every single night of Ramadan as though it may be my last and our last night of Ramadan. Oh Allah, we beg your refuge and seek refuge in you from wasting our time, from squandering our time, from doing things that are useless, from doing things that there's no benefit for us in this world and the next. Oh Allah, we ask you, Allah, whatever time has been wasted in these 9 days, we ask you, Allah, to grant us forgiveness for it. We ask you, Allah, to not hold us accountable for it. We ask you to still give us the barakah of Ramadan, even though we have not taken full benefit from it. Oh Allah, the remaining, Ya Allah, days that we have, Oh Allah, allow us to truly, truly maximize our, Ya Allah, istifada and benefit from it. Oh Allah, allow our fast not to be just a fast from the food and the drink. Allow it to become a means of our eyes fasting, our ears fasting, our hands and feet fasting, our mind fasting. Oh Allah, we ask you to grant us the full spiritual benefits of every fast. Oh Allah, allow us to get the full spiritual benefits of tahajjud, of qiyamul layl, of taraweeh. Oh Allah, make us amongst those who make a special dua for each other. Oh Allah, make us amongst those who remember each other in our duas. Oh Allah, we ask you to guide the ummah, guide the sleep, and wake up the sleeping ummah. Oh Allah, wake up the sleeping ummah, guide our non-Muslim neighbors, our non-Muslim colleagues, and non-Muslim friends. Oh Allah, guide them and allow them to see the beauty of Islam. Allow them to see the beauty of Islam. Oh Allah, just like so many people are accepting Islam today, Oh Allah, accept our colleagues and our neighbors, non-Muslims at work and school and on the street. Oh Allah, allow them to wake up to see the beauty of Islam. Oh Allah, allow us to become a means of their hidayah. Allow us to become the means of their hidayah. Allow us to become the means of their hidayah. Oh Allah, any non-Muslim who has ever had any share in our education, in our tarbiyah, or in our, Ya Allah, success of any sort, Oh Allah, if they're alive, Ya Allah, we ask you to open up the doors of guidance for them. Oh Allah, open up the doors of guidance for them. Oh Allah, all those Muslim men and women and those youth, Ya Allah, who are not practicing the deen even in the month of Ramadan. Oh Allah, who are busy, Ya Allah, with their own other lives. We ask you, Allah, to awaken them. Allow the beauty of deen to enter their heart. Allow them to fall in love with Islam. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, all those, Ya Allah, who are being, Ya Allah, who are being misled, Ya Allah, by shaitan and by their nafs and by culture, in Ya Allah, making Ramadan a moment, a month of just festivities, of an enjoyment, of fun, without focusing on the real purpose of it. Ya Allah, we ask you to guide them as well, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, guide them as well, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask you to grant us protection from the evil insinuations of our nafs and the evil insinuations of our shaitan. Oh Allah, allow us to recognize when these attacks happen and allow us to be protected from it through your grace, Ya Allah. Allow us to be protected to it through your grace, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to grant our parents, Ya Allah, shifa from any and all sicknesses, and grant them long life and health. And oh Allah, those whose parents have passed away, we ask you to fill their graves with nur and become pleased with them. Allow us to become a sadaqah jariyah for them. Oh Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to grant muhabba and love between the spouses, between parents and children. Guide them all towards that which is pleasing to you. Oh Allah, have mercy on our brothers and sisters in Masjid Al-Aqsa and Palestine and Gaza and Bilad al-Sham, generally speaking. Oh Allah, and in Sudan, in other parts of the globe, wherever the ummah is going through immense difficulty, we ask you to the
the barakah of everyone's dua and fast in this blessed month of Ramadan, that you alleviate from the ummah the suffering that they're going through. Allah, that you liberate Masjid al-Aqsa, Ya Allah, and you liberate the Haramain al-Sharifain, and keep them safe, Ya, and protected from any and all fitna. And O Allah, we ask you, and all those who are here and listening, O Allah, making dua, we ask you, Ya Allah, to grant every single one of them qubuli and acceptance for their duas. O Allah, whatever dua we're making for one another, we ask you to accept those duas as well. O Allah, whatever dua we should have been making for others, but we did not, we ask you, Allah, grant them that as well. O Allah, we ask you to grant us, Ya Allah, the ability to be accepted in your court the way you've accepted the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ameen.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay'in an taghfira li.